I was told I have to stand here, so good afternoon from my side. It's a pleasure to be invited here, and I understand there was a long waiting list to attend that conference, and I'm glad that I was able to jump that that waiting list. So thank you very much for that. So I wanted to start a little bit to discuss my 5 cents on the dollar on the current environment and the current challenges. Because Des Potter, my special advisor or special agent, tells me you would be interested in my views. Yeah? And I'm very happy to do so. So in terms of underwriting conditions, I think it's not a secret. We are living in a time where I'm not sure whether anyone in the room has seen better underwriting conditions than we have in the moment. Yeah, we have now experienced 19 consecutive quarters of rate rises or price rises. Which is really good. The whole commercial insurance industry posts combined ratios, which I have to say, they look really, really nice, but at the same time, they're urgently needed to compensate for the losses of the last 5 years. So don't get carried away. Yeah. So at the same time, we've seen, from my point of view, long-awaited yield increases. And people always forget about this, but so far the yield increase was amounting nearly to 2.4% across the globe. And if you take the book of Lloyd's with 89 billion of assets under management, that's a boost of profitability per year of nearly 2 billion. So, and the combination of both to have appropriate yields, and the yields are not so high that people get softer in their pricing. They are just 2.5%. It's not a lot, yeah. But it is urgently needed to really deal with the challenges in the future. So the combination of both firm pricing and a yield environment, Des, you're a bit older than me. I'm not sure whether you have ever seen that. I can't remember any year in my career where we had really this environment. So I think that's great. At the same time, I've never seen an environment which is so incredibly uncertain. Yeah, so you have this terrible war. It's not a war, it is an invasion technically in Ukraine. Yeah, with all the complications, with very complex losses, with all the sadness, all the loss of life, and the resulting, I would even say, political turmoil in Europe. In UK, in the world, well, it's probably getting a very cold winter in Germany this year without gas. And trust me, that will not go without any severe impacts. That could be social unrest like we have seen in Czechoslovakia over the weekend. So let's see what's coming. Yeah. So then for the first time in 30 years, we have inflation. Yeah, so the CPI levels, the reported CPI levels, they are, I would say, really a worry. Yeah, 8-9% inflation. Yeah, do we really have the power in the central banks to stop this inflation? It is a new type of inflation, demand-driven inflation. It's not new. East Germany had it, and you know the end of East Germany. Yeah, it failed. Yeah, so if you think about this, a demand-driven inflation is something which is really a proper ghost, because you don't have the instruments to fight it. It's supply-driven inflation. It's not demand-driven inflation, and you have no instruments to do this. So why am I saying this? Because I think in this environment, it is difficult to operate, possible, but difficult, and I think you simply need to have different things to convince your investors that they put equity on the table to earn money which you were never able to earn before. And I think you need to have two things. Number one is resilience. And I really can't talk about our numbers, but our Solvency II ratio, you hear that on Thursday, will reach record levels because we got the right positioning in place in terms of duration matching. And that's the reason why our interest rates, our Solvency II ratios even go up above the level of year end. And they were already at 370%. Yeah. The second thing which you need to have, I believe, is a proven business model that you can really deliver, even in uncertain times, profitability. And that brings me, and I hope you forgive me that I speak a little bit about our track record of the past, but it's important to understand how we achieved this. So this looks like a Harvard Business School review, how to restructure P&C business. Yeah, you increase price by 27%, at the same time reduce the volume of unprofitable business by 15%, and off you go, you have an 11% improve in combined ratio. So I could now say, John Neal and myself are so incredibly smart. We planned for that. Yes, we did, but we were surprised by the outcome. Why is that? Because all of us, and that's what I learned on my last roadshow from our investors, underestimated the influence of Lloyd's. And there are many investors who remind us, well done, but never underestimate your influence. If the Lloyd's market becomes undisciplined in underwriting, the London market can't really be a disciplined underwriting. And if the London market is not disciplined, it is very questionable whether the large carriers in the world really hold adequate pricing as a policy in place. Yeah, I'm almost certain Chubb will always do this. Yeah, with the rest of our peers, not so sure. So, and we take this as our liability and our commitment towards the insurance industry. We will keep pricing and underwriting discipline. Yeah, not everybody will like this. I'm pretty sure we will, when the markets get softer, everybody will shout at us, but I think we have to do this. And that is basically a very, very important commitment. The next slide is my favorable slide. This gives you the Lloyd's market in four quartiles. And you can see the remediation efforts, which were started by John Hancock and Bruce in 17, benefited every single quartile by at least 10%. Yeah? If you now aggregate the first three quartiles, which is a little bit unfair, the whole market is today, that is year-end numbers, underwriting on a Chubb profitability level. Yeah, that's a bit unfair because Chubb has a fourth quartile as well. Yeah, but the thing is, in the fourth quartile, there are three categories of syndicates in there. One are the startup categories, which are great, but they haven't reached the scale to become profitable. Yeah, there are the companies in there which haven't made it, and if you didn't make it in 2020, in 2021, I wonder when you plan to make it, honestly. Yeah, and the third category is something in between, where maybe there's a reporting issue, how they report on the UK GAAP to us. So that is our track record, and I think it's a proven, or it's a proof of the business model of Lloyd's, where we have oversight over the underwriting business by the approval of the business plan. And I think that is needed, yeah, for the Lloyd's market, that everybody who invests at the Lloyd's market, of course, you can always lose money. There's no doubt about this. But I think the underwriting discipline requires that we stop undisciplined and rogue underwriting in the market, which we have seen probably between 15 and 17, 18, 19. So I think that is a track record, which I believe is truly important for all investors who are thinking of deploying funds into the commercial or specialty insurance sector. So I leave you alone with digitalization, which is important, purpose and culture. These are all very important components of our strategy, but I think that is not the audience where I want to discuss this. But one message is very clear. We are only successful when we deliver all four strategic pillars in the same rigor and with the same success. The second point I really wanted to make is our journey so far since we have launched pretty much 3 years ago our Blueprint One. Yeah? So I was sent on a roadshow, and I have to say the feedback I got from the investors, that was at least sobering. Most of them were embarrassing. Yeah, and they were truly embarrassing. So what I've heard is you have a system which no one understands, including your staff, for capital. And I think that's true. Yeah. So what did we do in the last 2 years? We reformed the whole capital rules for deploying capital into Lloyd's. I think now we have a modern framework for capital. Yeah. We have introduced what you would have expect to see in every bank account, modern technology where you can see your funds at Lloyd's. We will introduce by end of the year a custodian platform where you can basically move within the parameters of the strategic asset allocation, which we do with the members, what you do and what you can invest immediately, directly, without going via Lloyd's. Yeah, so in the moment, we are still approving investments, divestments, dividends, corporate actions for 32 billion by hand. Yeah, that will be over by end of the year. So, and then last but not least, we have introduced London Bridge to open, and that was London Bridge 1, to open up the London market, the Lloyd's market, to institutional investors in an easy and modern way. Yes, it took, I would say, there's at least 10 years longer than it took in Bermudas and Guernsey, but we are now there. We have overcome together with the regulators, and I think that was really a great collaborative approach. The regulatory burdens, which was basically in the 2017 legislation, by now having a principle-based approach, how contracts must be, and then you don't have to go through a detailed approval process for every cell. Yeah, you basically, it's a declaration process, and I think Des will elaborate on this further. We have listened carefully to our customers, to all our investors, and London Bridge 1 was, of course, a compromise because we couldn't get anything we wanted into the first approval. So London Bridge 1 is just simply a quota share, yeah, which was already the step into the right direction, and we attracted two large investors, as you know, already on London Bridge 1. And London Bridge 2 now gives a much more flexible framework for deploying money into Lloyd's in a tax-transparent way. So, and again, thanks for the regulators, because without this great collaboration, that wouldn't have been possible. And even the timing was absolutely appropriate, Lisa. I think, how long did we work on this? 6 months? Yeah, and I think that was really a great success. So thank you for that. So now there's London Bridge, and now you can enjoy the flow of business which goes into Lloyd's. Yeah, and the flow of business is unique. Yeah, it's not only net cat, which is not correlating with capital markets. Basically, 90% of our asset classes, maybe with the exception to D&O and FinPro classes, are non-correlated to financial market risk. So I think this gives you now a much broader universe. You have the quality assurance from our oversight program, and we announced last week that the SBAI board accepted now the first application where a managing agent, just by fulfilling the requirements towards Lloyd's, they fulfilled the requirements from SBAI. Yeah, which I think is very, very important for investors, that we do have a framework which is, yes, a little bit burdensome sometimes, but you get the benefits that investors can really rely much more on the processes which we have in place. So, and then in terms of business possibilities, the combination of London Bridge 2 and our well-established reinsurance to close process now allows to create an ILS market also for non-CAT classes. Yeah, because this reinsurance to close process means you can exit whenever you want to, yeah, the underwriting year, and you don't have to wait until all the money flew back from longer tail classes of business, which I think is really an exciting view. So, and also you are allowed to write now CAT bonds in the Lloyd's market. Yeah, that's possible. And that creates the ability. We, of course, always need to have the underwriting side following this. So you can't deploy 100 million and say, give me Burkhardt or Des, give me please some cat business. That's not how it works. But I think that is well understood. And you will benefit from our robust oversight on cat risk underwriting in our planning and performance processes. So last but not least, the first component, the fourth component of our capital platform was really to offer to our members and our investors the possibility to co-invest on the Lloyd's investment platform. Yeah, because the problem with Lloyd's is a little bit, we don't have very much scale in at each syndicate. So therefore, you pay too much for your asset under management fees. Yeah, you are restricted in the diversifications you can get. You are restricted in new classes of assets because you simply can't source this. And the new investment platform, which is facilitated by Schroeder Solution, I think will really help this. And we are in the midst of rolling this out. So, in summary, I think we are really well placed for a very uncertain environment. There is not very much we know about the future. I would always say the only thing I know about the future, I know nothing. Yeah, but we have processes in place where we can deal with the uncertainty and with the impact which is coming to us. Yeah, we have a strong track record that we can maintain discipline and that we can withstand the pressure we get from all sides. And the whole management team is fully committed to make underwriting discipline really our DNA of the Lloyd's market. Yeah, so we have shown that we are able and that we are willing to modernize the market. A bit late, point taken, but I think we made a lot of progress over the last 3 years, and that's not only on the capital side, also on the Blueprint 2 side, basically on the digitalization of the back-end process of the market. We really made nice progress this year. So, and with this one, Steve, I'm happy to take any questions or whatever you plan to do with me, Steve.
We probably have time for one question, if there are any.
Oh, that means I did overrun, right? Sorry for that.
You're dead on time, so.
Good.
Are there any questions in the room? Maybe I could ask one. The last two boxes there are obviously quite intriguing about what could be possible in the future in terms of Lloyd's perhaps enabling capital to enter, but also perhaps structuring portfolios, funds. Is that something that you consider as open in the future?
No, absolutely, because maybe I didn't express myself very clearly. The whole intention of the capital work stream of Future Lloyd's was simply to take away the barriers which we created, yeah, that I think unintentionally created just by never reforming what we did. Yeah? And I think that's what we have now achieved. Now we have the platform, now we can also co-invest, and hopefully you find our governance and our rules and procedures not stopping you from deploying money into the Lloyd's market, and that you therefore can benefit from the business flow which we have at the Lloyd's market. That was the whole plan of the exercise.
Great, thank you. So if there aren't any other questions, I'd just like to say thank you very much, Burkhardt, and thank you for your speech. Could I invite the next